Make an active mindset though to have you time. Whatever that you time is, if it's walking, if it is making a tea, if it's having your green juice, even though you haven't had it for a month, who fucking cares? You start from today. You don't start from yesterday. You don't start from tomorrow because you can't plan for that. And we have to freaking be okay with the fact that we sometimes have to restart on today because we didn't feel good yesterday. And that's all right.
Like we can talk. I know. We can talk for 40 minutes on live, and then when the episode starts, we don't know what to say.
I go,
I'm frightened. I'm not ready. I'm not ready for this. I'm actually really excited to be back. Hi. I kind of need this.
Is that your, are we going in?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I kind of like going in when we don't know we're going in. I know. Because then it's like, oh, fuck, we're started.
I feel like I'm always the guy, I'm like, oh, we're going in? Okay, we're going in.
We're in, baby. People are like,
dude, just get with the program, okay?
Get with it, honey bunny.
Oh my God, I almost just threw up my fried rice. I'm actually okay. I am now. Woo, that was close. In a little moment right there.
I think it's so funny that every time we record, no matter what time of day it is, Sid waits to eat her meal until we get to the studio.
No, that's true. That's 100% true.
Like if it's 3 p.m. recording, you bring your meal. If it's 5 p.m., oh, I don't know if it's lunch or dinner, she brings the meal.
Because you'll be talking about something really great and then I'll just kind of be looking off in the distance and I'm like, God damn it, I want a burger. I'm so hungry.
Like, I wish I had my food
here. I should have snacked. Yeah.
Because you know that it's going to take a bit to start recording.
Yep.
You know we're on live before we record answering some Q&As.
You know mama likes her snacks.
You know mama wants her fried rice.
Mama wants her fried rice that she just made. Healthy fried rice. Yes. Check out my page. I don't have it on there, but I will at some point post it there. Just kidding. But still look, I'll look for it. I'll do it at one point.
You should make a cute little reel making
Of making my healthy fried rice. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. But at Emma Karras, her mom basically has the whole recipe down. So I kind of stole it. So
yum.
Ooh, okay, we're back.
I just ate Sweet Martha's before I came here.
That sounds delicious. Good. Is that what your breath is?
Yeah. I had Sweet Martha's and then beef jerky as I walked out the door. Like, what a combo.
Okay, but when you are the guy on the plane that opens the beef jerky bag, I'm like, I look around and I'm like, sorry. And then, oh my God, you guys, I tooted on the plane so loud. I had my headphones in. I felt it and I could not good. Not cute.
You know what? Just like we read, though, last episode with the Straight Kind of Moment that someone wrote in as a listener and telling us that she farted at the gym and how it just
made,
you know, and she ended up laughing at it knowing that it was a Straight Kind of Moment.
It is a little bit awkward, though, when the flight attendant kind of looks at you because you're like caught eye contact because of it. And you're like, just reading my book, nothing to see. I just kind of scooted, but I can't do it again because I literally can't do it again.
Well, I'm kind of embarrassed and shocked because, so we were at dinner the other week,
you were there.
We had like a little quad date. It was kind of cute.
Little cutie tooties.
And I'm very, like, I think I fart a lot as a female because I have a little bit of IBS happening right now. And it is related to, obviously, gut-brain connection. And lately, my IBS is worse, which means my anxiety is worse, which means I'm farting more. I'm tooting more. It's happening. And so I was asking all the girls at dinner with their boyfriends across the table. We were all like, across from our boyfriends because I'm genuinely curious because I know Sid doesn't really fart in front of Jordan.
I don't usually know.
So then I asked my friend Felicia and asked my friend Emerson and all of them were like, no. So I'm like the odd one out and I'm like, oh my God, do no other girls fart in front of their boyfriends? So if you're listening and you toot in front of your boyfriend, please let me know so I don't feel so alone.
Listen, I fart in front of my boyfriend. I'm just extremely diligent in my cheek spread. And I'm extremely diligent in the movement I make. Like, let's say I accidentally dropped a plate a little too loud.
But
you know what I mean?
But you hide it. And I don't know if that's like the right thing.
You got to sneak around. You got to be nifty. You got to be like quick on your feet. You got to, you know, I don't know. I think it's kind of fun. I feel like it's like kind of like a little bit of like a job that I have. Like when I feel the toot coming, I'm like, uh-oh.
I've got about
30 seconds to figure out how I'm going to disguise this. And I'm like, uh-oh, sorry. I skidded my shoe on the ground.
And then here's what I do. I stare into Pat's eyes. We both look at each other. We stop what we're doing. And then I just fart.
No, you don't.
Yeah. And then every time I toot, he tries to run up to me and stick his face in my ass and smell my farts.
Are you shitting me right now?
No!
He actually likes your toots?
Yeah. He's like, I don't know if he's being funny about it or if he just like knows that I don't like that he smells them. So I'm like, can you not? And then he'll be like, it'll just like run up to me and then it'll like pretend like scoop it. And it's just, no.
He really wants pink eye, huh?
Oh my God. The guy wants pink eye. He really wants it bad.
These are things that, like, sometimes I regret sharing on the podcast. And then,
you know what?
And then there's no going back.
No, there's literally no going back. No, no, you can't go backwards. That just happened. Jordan doesn't cut my toots. Not usually, no.
He doesn't what?
He doesn't cut my toots.
Cut?
Cup my toots.
Oh, was I?
You're doing a cupping motion? Cupping the toots? No, Jordan doesn't cut my toots.
I was just going to say, when a girl farts in front of me, I like to, like, rate it. It's like, it sounded kind of weak, like 6 out of 10.
Wait, love really? That would make me feel comfortable.
I know, right? It's just like a funny little, like,
that's a great technique, Ben.
Good for you, Ben. Go, Ben. Making the girls feel comfortable around their
you
toots.
You would definitely give me a 10 out of 10, let me tell you. You've heard me
okay,
fart before.
Farty McGee.
Next time you fart in front of me, I'll rate it. Okay. I got you.
Have you farted in front of Ben yet?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Sometimes when he's over and we were like having our podcast meetings, I like almost poop with the door open. I'm like, oh wait, it's
I do. I changed in front of Ben, yeah, and then I was like, sorry. Oh my god, I don't know why. I think you're like my brother, or even that's weird. Wait, yeah. sorry. Okay, you're retract, like, retract.
You are friend zoned, but in like the best way.
In the best way, though, we love having you.
I remember one time during a meeting, I don't remember how it came up, but Sophie's like, maybe in another world I could see myself dating you, Ben. And I go, didn't we learn from the last producer we dated?
Oh, shots fired.
We're not going to talk about
that.
I will say, Ben, I don't want to tell you who I was having this conversation with, but yes, like, just because I know you as a friend, like, you are friend zoned. Obviously, you'll forever be friend zoned, but you fuck. Like...
Wait, what?
I just feel like
where
he
did
does.
That come from?
Like his confidence and his style and his just like a I feel like
he also has sisters. You have sisters. Yeah, like you're like good with the women. You're good with the ladies. You care.
So being
Yes,
being friend zone. Sorry, being friend zone doesn't mean anything.
Like, no, I love you guys.
You know what I mean?
I love you guys. I'm glad I'm friend zoned in a lot of ways.
Because you fuck, man.
Yeah,
I'm like, what? Where did that come from? Hello, who's here? Literally, who just said that?
That was just extra funny because, like, me and my co-host, as like a joke, will be like, "Yeah, we fuck." Like, so
oh
that
my
was
god,
just,
you guys,
like, icing on the cake. Thank you.
What is happening right
I'm
now?
I'm clipping that and keeping it for myself.
Keep it there. Keep it there. I feel like we have pretty big stray cannon moments that we need to go into, but I wanted to say two things
I'll do
first.
Mine last.
Okay, you want to go last? Okay. First, I wanted to say 9/11 was this past week. We just wanted to take a second to remember everybody, like a part of 9/11, who was there, who was not there, who lost people, who lost family members, who are serving all the things. So I think that's super important. Take a second. The second thing is it's Mental Health Awareness Day was the other day / Mental Health Awareness Month. And I feel like it's timely for all the things that we're going to talk about too. So first, I would like to admit to something that I really just wasn't going to tell, but here we are being candid. And I'm going to admit to my straight candid moment. Okay. And that straight candid moment started on my little trip to Denver this weekend. And we had a blast. Jordan came with and we met with all my friends. And one of my friends is like my ex-roommate. And we kind of, we get a little crazy when we're together. Okay. Let's just put it that way. And we're having a few drinks and then we kind of forget about the altitude. So we have another one, you know, and then now I'm 4 drinks deep. I've had 2 margaritas and 2 espresso martinis. And how did we get on the topic? I have no idea, but I kid you not. We started talking about, I don't even know how this went. Buttholes. Okay. And I don't usually talk about buttholes. You guys know I'm not really like a butthole. Like it's not really all this.
We never talk about buttholes or poop or
I have never seen that hidden well before. Okay, you don't know that movie? Cinderella Story. Bye. So we're talking about it and all of our friends we're sitting like up close and we're like, yeah, like some people like their butthole touched or whatever. And I'm like, you know, it's not like the worst thing in the world, whatever.
Isn't it weird that topic of conversation does come up in like, I feel like 3 conversations that I've been in with you.
Yeah.
So like, it's not as weird as you think.
I feel like all of our friends bring it up and I don't know why. Maybe we're all obsessed.
Am I usually there?
Who knows? Maybe, yeah. But all of a sudden the topic was brought up about bidets. Okay. Jordan has a bidet. I've used it once. I didn't like it. But I will say, I feel like people that like bidets like their butthole touched.
Well, yeah, because you like that feeling.
Yeah,
that-
but then swore of the people that we were talking to were like, no, never, 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 never. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You use a bidet like every day. Yeah. Who are you freaking fooling, man? And I was so drunk, I literally wouldn't let it die.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let it die. We're in the car. We drove. We walked for an hour. We got in the car for 2 more hours. I wouldn't let it die. I'm just talking about the butthole, talking about the bidet. Jordan's like, seriously, babe? He's like, I love you so much, but you got to stop talking. And I was like, I can't. Because
I think
I'm
you're
proving
right.
The point.
And you're right. I think we need to expand upon this topic because guarantee the guys that are saying, no, I don't like my butthole touch. No. Oh, that's disgusting. The ones that are being really defensive about
curiosity.
It.
Curiosity.
The ones that are being defensive about it probably do like a little butt play.
See, and I told Jordan this.
And they don't want to admit to it because they think it tones down their straightness, but that doesn't at all. It's little sexual pleasure.
Like, I do believe this in most instances, but I finally have come to the conclusion that Jordan actually doesn't like it. Like, I literally, when I say I exhausted it.
Okay, but.
I did. He's not closed off. I cannot confirm or deny anything further than that. But let's just say the conversation has closed on the Jordan front.
Yeah.
But in other instances, I completely agree.
But I think it also has to come down to, like, once you are completely confident in, if you know
in your skin,
if you know your butthole, number one, if you know your butthole is clean, if you know,
maybe
a bidet, like, yeah, maybe you don't want some like whole item up your butthole, but like a little like touching around it, just like a water would do when the bidet hits your butthole.
Listen,
same thing. Like, he probably would like it if it was done correctly, if he was confident and the sex was like open and you guys could do that. Like,
I've been afraid of bunholes, you know what I mean? For a long time too. So I feel that on every single front. And I don't know why that was my straight candid moment, but I literally like wouldn't let it die. And if you've ever been with a significant other and you don't let something die and then you wake up the next morning, you're like, hey, and they were sober and you weren't. And you're like, so do you still love me or no, do you not really? Oh shit. I almost hit our sign over. And he's like, you really went for that like comment last night. I'm like, yeah. Anyway, you want to go get breakfast? Coffee on me. Love you, baby. And we get there and I'm like, I'll order for him. He's going to have the matcha latte. And I'm like, oh my God. He was like, he's never going to let me live that one down. Never. Never.
I think I had a point too. My first serious boyfriend, like my first boyfriend where I like started having sexual intercourse with. I remember one day we were... I was very new to sex, you know, and after sex one time, he looks me dead in the eye and he kind of starts to cry a little bit.
Oh my God.
And he goes, I kind of like my butthole touch, and he kind of like covers his head. And I'm like, oh, why are you crying? Like, why are you shy? And he was like, I don't know, it's just weird, but I just wanted to let you know.
Sad.
And I was like, and I made sure he felt so comfortable. And that was the only boyfriend.
And I, you know, she goes,
but, and that was the only boyfriend that allowed me to, every time we were having sex, I would stick an entire finger, maybe two.
Oh, okay. All right.
Up his boom.
Okay.
So.
No gracias for me.
But, you know, like I don't think there's shame behind it at all.
Not at all.
He's still straight and I'm pretty sure he's engaged now.
Who cares?
To a female.
And whatever you're feeling sexually, just be honest with it and like experience it and like be curious and go for it.
I'm just laughing.
Why are you laughing?
Because.
Why are you laughing?
We went into this podcast thinking we were going to talk about mental health. We're talking about assholes. And now it's been about 10 minutes that it might.
I know.
It might have to be a part of the title.
I know, because it is like a hefty part of what we've already spoken to. Wow. Okay. All right. Welcome, everybody.
Straight candid.
Straight candid.
Buttholes and mental health.
Oh, my God.
Fuck.
Ah,
that's
damn it.
That's what you get.
Jesus. All right. Why don't you go ahead and your straight candid moment? The mine was literally just absolutely pointless. Literally no point to it.
Ben, do you have a straight candid moment this week?
Yes. Do you remember we shared the straight candid moment together at Smack Shack? Which is all...
Oh, God.
Wait, do you not remember what? This? Oh, yes,
this
bro.
This was right before my whole anxiety situation. So I was probably like short-term memory.
Oh, okay.
Wait, give me hints so I can try to remember.
You were saying goodbye.
You really don't
Did you kiss
yes.
him?
Yep, yep, there it is.
Did you kiss him or something, or what happened?
This is perfect because of the friend zone thing. Just, she was dipping, she was...
I told everyone I was Irish goodbying, but I was like, don't say something because I'm letting you know that I'm Irish goodbying.
Okay, fair enough.
Exactly. And
isn't that just saying goodbye?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, yeah.
But
okay.
It means I'm not here to sit around and talk.
Yeah.
I'm not here to have anyone tell me to stay. I'm here to tell you, each and every one of you, hey, I'm Irish goodbying. I just want to let you know. And then they can't say anything.
That's not the point of Irish goodbye, though, but I get what you're doing.
I know.
I respect she just rips the
That's
Band-Aid.
Fair.
And it's none of that like, oh, like, bye, like, bye, I'll see you. When are we going to see? She's
I'm
just like,
see you soon, okay?
I'm out. Like,
yeah.
Fuck this shit. And so she's saying her goodbyes. Jay and I are sitting like on the chairs with our backs facing the bar. Okay. And Soph comes up and like gives us like kind of a double hug. And
should we reenact? But not actually.
Mean?
Oh, no.
Oh, from where I am or like?
Yeah, just do it where you are.
Okay, so like Soph is here to me. Soph is here to me. And I'm having a conversation, I believe, with my friend Tiki, and like I hear that she's leaving, and so I turn my head, and right when I turn my head,
I'm kissing Ben's cheek goodbye.
How did I know this happened? I literally just guessed that.
On the lips.
Mouth to mouth, just kiss. And Smooch. We were both like.
We both like, what did you do? Die laughing. We're like, ah!
Oh my God, did you have to go home and admit it to Pat?
I forgot. I should tell him now.
Oops. You go, I kissed Ben.
He's like, what do you mean?
He's like, it actually wasn't like that.
But it was like, it was.
But it kind of was. I'm just kidding.
It was going to be like, I mean, like a little. You know.
And you went bye.
And
yeah,
oh my God!
Lips to lips. You have great lips.
The after fact, I love that. You both were just probably like, whoa. Yeah, did Jay Louis have a freaking fit?
I don't even remember. Did anyone else see?
I think it was just us. Like we shared that experience, and everyone was like, "What? Yeah. What happened?"
You're like, "Nothing, nothing."
And I was like, "This is my sign."
Yeah, literally. Oh my God, I love that. Okay, well, if that's not your straight candid moment,
yeah. Okay, so. You know, I think we started this entire episode on a fun, positive note. So I'm about to bring it down. About to bring it down. So, this past week has been probably one of the harder weeks of my life. I've obviously had flare-ups with mental health. If you guys listen to this podcast, you know my bad weeks and my good weeks. And we do talk about it a lot because sometimes it's like the only thing that is really prevalent that I'm able to kind of speak to in the moment just because it is something that's weighing heavy on me. But yeah, this past week, I'm not sure what exactly flared it up. But it started like, honestly, like probably on Friday. And then I remember thinking, I feel a little off. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're like, when you feel like a little burnout coming sometimes, that feels different. But then I noticed my heart rate was increasing a little bit. I'm like, fuck, I'm having bad anxiety. I was down for the count. Like my heart rate, like through my throat, and it was the most uncomfortable couple days of my life. And before it kind of really escalated, I remember thinking like, maybe I should try to make sure I'm doing things like socially and making connections. Cause I was listening to Andrew Huberman's podcast and how important it is to like, you know, keep your stress levels low by continuing to do things that you like and make connections with other humans. So I'm like, okay, you know what? This dinner we had planned on Wednesday night, I should go to this because maybe it'll help me. So I get there and I'm feeling pretty good.
You were, when you came in, we were having fun. We were laughing. We were bugging the boys. We were doing all the things.
And I've never had this experience before until that day. Like Sid probably saw it in my eyes, but it was the end of dinner. And all of a sudden I was having a full blown anxiety attack. Like all of a sudden my heart was pounding, but like, you know, when you're about to puke and your eyes like cave in and black out and you get that like tingle in your throat and the entire room, kind of like the conversation just like float above you. That's what it feels like.
I've been there before.
And all of a sudden I'm just like, oh my God, what's happening? I couldn't hear anything almost. And I was like, I have to leave right now. I have to leave right now. And ever since that Wednesday night, like it just continued to go downhill. And it's just, I'm just frustrated to be completely honest, because it's, I couldn't go to work. Like there was no way I could coach a class without crying, without having an anxiety attack, without trying to take a deep breath. Like I couldn't get a deep breath in for 3 days straight. And then we had a podcast recording scheduled. So, I mean, I want to like shout out Ben and Sid for like being understanding, because we were like an hour before recording and all day I was hyping myself up. Like I'm going to be able to do it. I'm gonna be able to do it. And then like 30 minutes before I like call Ben and Sid, just, I honestly was just calling you to like tell you guys what was going on. And then I just immediately break down. So, you know, this stuff happens. It's real. And I just want people listening, because I ended up kind of sharing a little bit of this and my health journey on social media, to everyone that did reach out and to everyone that also shared that they have similar experiences. I always thought that, like, you know what, everyone has different levels of anxiety, but I feel like I have it the worst. Like, this isn't fair. I feel I was dealt a bad hand. Like, mental illness, yes, it runs in my family, but like the fact that this is affecting my motivation, my drive, my career, my podcast, it's not fair. It fucking sucks. But then I was seeing other people having very similar experiences. And like, just like, for example, someone was talking about their anxiety attacks brings them into seizures. Someone's like, my kids now have it too, and I'm managing dosages for, you know, my 8-year-old. And this is, it's just, you are not alone. And this is so prevalent in our society. And so I think kind of the topic of conversation today is kind of advocating for yourself, because I'm sick of, you know, my psychiatrist is like, okay, so I immediately had an appointment with him, obviously, because I like couldn't function. Like I was forgetting what I was doing. I was putting salt in the fridge. I still don't have my car keys. These are my extra set of car keys because I misplaced my keys. I can't find them anywhere. I've turned my entire apartment upside down. I have short-term memory loss from the anxiety.
Yep, which is an actual thing that happens when you have severe anxiety. You get short-term memory loss. Yeah. Yeah,
and you get brain fog. And it's debilitating. It's horrible. Where was I going with this?
Just the topic, how we're going to talk about advocating for yourself.
Yes. So I'm sick of my psychiatrist is like, oh, hey, like, let's just up your dose of your SSRI. I'm on an SSRI. I'm also on, you know, a boost bar, which is like in combination with your SSRI. I am sharing this just because I know probably, you know, 30%, 40% listeners are probably on some type of anxiety medication, depression medication. I made up that stat, but you feel me. And I'm just sick of just upping my dosages. And I really just want to see if there's other ways to figure out what's going on, because I'm realizing I'm having other symptoms happening right now as well. So with all that being said, I am trying to kind of dive into a little bit more of my health journey holistically.
Yeah.
But I think there's a balance between the medication that I need in order to, you know, keep my career and function, but then also try these behavioral tips, or also try more holistic integrative approach where you take my whole well-being into account. Maybe my hormone levels are off. Maybe my birth control is no longer working for me. Maybe my estrogen is too high. There's just so many little things that I've been researching. And so I haven't figured it out yet, but I do know that I don't feel like myself, especially with different fluctuations throughout the month. Like some weeks I'm like just not myself, and some weeks I feel really good. And I'm sick of that. So, yeah. I have an appointment with a naturopathic doctor on Friday. Okay. It's a hell of a lot of money, to be honest. But at this point I would pay thousands of dollars to figure out what's going on. So
I respect you for sharing all that. I also want you to know that I feel that, and I know where you're at. And I can't say that I know what you're feeling, because I think everybody's is so different, right? Like anxiety ebbs and flows, but I understand, because there are things that have happened in my life that have brought me to where you are right now. And it sucks. It genuinely sucks. You feel like it never ends. You feel like, to be honest, sometimes like, how would I be able to live my life if this keeps continuing? Like I'm not going any further than what you're thinking, but it's just like this fear inside of me that I've had before, where I'm like, if this is how I'm going to feel, I can't do this. Like I can't, like, I don't know how I would. And that's usually where my thoughts stop, because I have a mental breakdown usually. Yeah. So.
And yeah, this was the first time where I wanted to like crawl out of my body, and I would have done anything to get out of my skin. And like, I'm very careful with like addiction issues, because, you know, it's just like, I'm very worried about that stuff. But I was like, do I need to take my Xanax? Like, I'm prescribed Xanax. And I'm like, I understand how people can get addicted to drugs when you have mental illnesses. Like it is,
it's like a fear of the feeling staying longer, and then knowing that if I take this, I'm going to feel better, but it's temporary,
and,
right?
And like getting out of your body. What's interesting though, is I heard you say like you've been in spots where that you brought you to this. The thing is though, is I think no matter what spot in my life I was at, I would have still had that flare up. I think it has to do with a lot of things. Like, yes, you can definitely manage your stress. You can manage your anxiety. I'm doing some behavioral things I'm going to share with you guys in a little bit, but, no matter where I'm at in my life, like this illness is part of me, and I have to manage it. And I think if I was in a different job, I would have still had burnout. If I was in a different career, I would still be stressed. Like, I am very lucky to be doing what I'm doing, but yet I'm still at this spot. It has nothing to do with really the jobs, the stress. It has to do with the generalized anxiety disorder.
I think it's what I mean by like where I was, and I'll give a few examples, is I think it's a mindset when your guard is down and you're the most sensitive that you could be in that moment. For instance, one time I tried weed when I was in high school, and I smoked it and I got a little too high, and I had the worst anxiety attack. It lasted almost 3 days, like full on, like take me to the hospital, heart attack situation. But what really was going on is I was with a boyfriend that was like semi-abusive in ways. My parents were getting a divorce. My car just got taken by the feds, and I'm not going to go into details on that, but it's like there was family things going on, and I was eating poorly, and I was drinking these things that don't make me feel good and made my insides curdle, and all of those things built up into one caused me to have a severe panic attack. And that moment I realized, wow, this fluttery feeling that I've been feeling lingering for months and months and months and years probably
built up
is actually generalized anxiety that I have. It's not something that comes and goes. It's here forever and it's going to stay, but it comes up and it comes down. And that's when I started to realize it. But the first mistake I made was I was afraid of it. Like, I mean, I was afraid of panic attacks. And because I was afraid of it hitting me and coming onto me and taking over, I had them all the time. Like, daily, I was afraid of it. I couldn't eat. I lost weight. I also, like, was in bad relationships because my judgment was off because I just wanted someone to care for me and keep me safe. I also then stopped being able to go on airplanes and travel because I was afraid if I wasn't with this person, I wouldn't feel safe. And it was almost like I, like, thought all these outside external things were going to make me better and make me feel okay. And they didn't. And it just continued. And then I sat down with my grandma and she said, I had similar, if not the same experiences as you. And she said that when you don't take control of what you know is already there, then it will take control over you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, if you pretend like it's not there, it's going to make it known that it's there. If you pretend like you're not going to do anything for it and you're just going to go about life, it will make it known that it's there. But if you tell it, you know what? I'm not fucking afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you. You can take over sometimes, fine. Attack me, but it's a mindset. And it has literally changed my life. Like, verbatim, I have had maybe 1 to 2 panic attacks since she's told me that. And that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or not 10 years ago, probably 6 years
and
ago.
And I totally respect where you're coming from.
And it's not all like that, but trust me.
Like,
it doesn't work like that always.
It doesn't work like
saying.
That but all the time. Like,
it is good to have faith and hope.
Yes.
I think.
Which is exactly what I was going to share. So I respect that and I totally get that. But at the same time, like sometimes with depression, sometimes with, you know, some other illnesses, like it isn't just a mindset. Mindset can help.
Mindset's what keeps me safe, I feel like.
Yeah.
But it's not, doesn't mean I'm not, you know, unstoppable or untouchable or anything like that. But
so I'm going to show you guys what I've been doing lately.
What have you been doing? What is this backpack?
I brought my things that have been helping me stay a little more sane.
Okay.
Again, mindset.
Yep.
So first things first, I got this book, which have you guys heard of? Hold on. Oh, Come As You Are by Emily Nagowski.
Yes.
So her and her sister wrote another book together. It's called The Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle.
Wow.
And I've heard a lot of good reviews on this, and I'm not that far in, but it so far it's been a really good help. When I was also anxious, I made bookmarks for myself and colored.
Coloring is really good for your brain, I feel like. It calms you down and gets your mind off things.
So I've been trying to color. I used to be really creative. I used to be actually a really good painter.
I love that.
Know. So maybe I'll start that again. So I'm trying to find things that I actually like doing.
Yeah.
So reading books that are helping with burnout. And then someone on my Instagram, when I posted about my mental health thing, he was like, have you heard of the 5-minute journal?
Oh,
and I was like,
someone told me to buy it.
Yes. And I was like, I have not. So I ordered it off Amazon. I honestly ordered it this morning and it came this afternoon.
Holy shit. That was quick.
But it focuses on 3 things: gratitude, creating a better day, daily affirmations. So those 3 things you do in the morning.
Okay.
And then you at night, you do the highlight of your day and then what you learned. So it's just 1 page, really, really simple. But you sit down and you write it out. And I already just think, like we said, like it's coming from more of a positive mindset, because part of me is afraid, like with the anxiety that has been kind of, I feel like, engulfing me, I've become a little more negative. Mm-hmm. And I think people have bad intentions sometimes. And I know that's not who I am. And I'm like, I just need to be a little bit more positive. So yeah, I have a couple therapy appointments this week. And like something I'm working on is trying to be like, I'm like, I don't want to be bitchy. Like we talked about being a bitch. Like
there's a difference between being a bitch and being bitchy.
Yeah.
Though.
And I'm like, I want to come from a place of more optimism, I guess.
Glass half full.
Yes.
You know, when I'm having a bad day, I'll look at Jordan. I'll be like, I think I'm having a glass half empty day. And he like knows exactly what that means. We've kind of had like this common ground of what I need. I like just need to be held and have a hug. Yeah. And like, I need him when we lay in bed to be really intentional about asking me questions and like just holding my hand even or touching me, because your mind just goes and goes. It goes all over. And you just have to find these safe spaces with people and yourself. Like, I respect that you're starting or you're reading and you're doing all that, because like I finally found the love and learn of like why reading makes me feel so fucking good.
Yeah.
I had never seen that in years, because I lost sight of it because I thought my ADHD got too bad and I couldn't stay focused.
I saw you finished your book.
I finished my book, you guys. I finished a fucking did you book.
See it? Did you see what I wrote? I should bring it for you. You what? Need it.
Oh, you and you're in my little box, chat box? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That has to be your next book, because mine will be fucking
Oh my God,
long.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. Oh, but, Colleen Hoover, holy crap, you write a book. Holy crap.
But I'm interested how you said, like, can you just like, I like when Jordan can like touch me and hold me, because so the book that the Secret to Unlocking Stress Cycle, it's talking about like external stresses and like stressors and how your stressors aren't necessarily your stress, and like your stressors can still be in your life, but like how you react and shit like that, right? So they're talking about one way to kind of bring your like stress hormones down is either a 6-second kiss or a 20-second hug. The reasoning is because 6-second kiss, it's not short enough where like you could kiss someone and you're like, ew, gross, but it's long enough to be like, I trust this person and I like feel this connection with this person, and knowing that connection is there can immediately tell your body like you're safe, you're not in you're not in that fight or flight mode right now. You're connecting with someone. So like that fight or flight and sympathetic nervous system, which is like literally where my body's at 90% of the day, I've been trying to tap in more to that parasympathetic, where your body's resting, digesting, which is a fun fact as to why a lot of y'all with anxiety or depression, you have IBS and gut issues, is because your body is in a sympathetic state. And the only way you can digest is when you're in a parasympathetic state. So if you're trying to work on your digestion, you feel like you're not, you know, like digesting food, you have to like, that's why meditation is so important, and like calming down your insides, because then you're actually able to put your energy towards bodily functions that are supposed to automatically be happening.
Yeah, exactly.
And then a 20-second hug. So like a nice old hug. Cuddle.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. I don't know. And then I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, all the people out there that don't have a significant other, and I feel you and I get it.
It talks about pets too.
I was going to say pets. I was going to say I'm in a point in my life, and I've kind of thought about this for the past 2 weeks, where I feel like I am truly surrounded by the best people I've ever been surrounded by in my entire life. Like I had never sat there and thought to myself, like, damn, I literally have the smartest, most empathetic, caring, intelligent, like people I can learn from surrounding me right now. And that made me realize, like, I kind of put a smile on my face saying, like, damn, that means I'm probably the best version of me that I've been in a long ass time. And that's even enough to feel good. Also, have the friends that, you know, the friends that like will check in and be like, hey, you know, like I haven't asked how you are in a while, or like, how are you? You know, like friends like that. You can be that friend to somebody else, and or don't be afraid to reach out to somebody and say, like, you know what, I'm kind of having a bad day. Like, would you FaceTime, or like, could we call, or could we go on a walk? Like, don't be afraid to ask for help. I think it's extremely humbling, but it's also just shows that you are an open book and you are willing to like let your guard down and like let people be there for you. And that's a big deal.
And coming from someone who is the person that's like, okay, I actually need to isolate and I need to hang out by myself because that'll make me feel better. I do that a lot. And I've also come to realize that maybe that's not the best thing for me all the time.
Maybe like, not, yeah.
So instead of like, you know, we made fun of Sid last episode, like getting coffee with her friends all the time, like all these like thousands of people just, I'll get coffee with you. I think to a certain, you know, I think that's actually not a bad idea. So like I'm also pushing myself to do things that I would rather go home, isolate and watch, you know, Top Chef or Below Deck. But like, I'm going to try to go for a walk with someone and talk about feelings, talk about this connection, like, and, you know, dive into this connection a little bit more, because isolating isn't always the best option. If you're someone who maybe doesn't feel like you're surrounded by the supportive people right now, and you feel like, oh, well, that's sick, but like, what about me? I don't feel like that right now. You can start now. Like, it's not about how many friends you have. It's about like the singular connections. It's about,
it's not about how many, not even close.
And it's about how, like Sid said, like checking up on your friends and making sure they're okay in return can maybe make you feel a little bit better too.
And those casual friends that maybe you see like at the gym, or maybe you see them like out in passing a lot, or maybe at your work a lot, like don't be afraid.
Even the barista at Starbucks, like say a compliment, give compliments, be nice to random people. And I think that actually makes my day always feel better too.
What I was going to say was don't be afraid to take it out of the friend zone or like the like awkward acquaintance zone. Like don't be afraid to reach out to somebody and be like, hey, do you want to hang out? Like I know this is kind of like on a whim, but like, do you want to go do this with me instead of this or whatever? Like just don't be afraid to do that. Like reach out for people. If you're the one like secluding and feeling like inside, like, I don't know if I have anybody. I don't know if I have a lot of friends or like what my friends think of me. The likelihood of the person on the other side thinking the same thing is probably pretty high. So reach out to those people, make an effort, like do a little bit more than you're usually doing. You know what I mean? Extend a little bit. The other thing I wanted to say was I tried at first to find balance in reading and meditating and stretching and drinking water and drinking tea and going on walks every single day. And then I have to journal again because like you can't just journal once. You got to journal twice a day.
And you got to have
like,
your green juice and you got to,
you holy would love, shit.
Babe, you
chill
would
the fuck out is honestly what I want to say to myself. Oh, let's write it down on my notepad every single day. No, I didn't do it. Okay. Again, God dang it.
You would love that stress burnout book. Cause I talked really? About the beginning of how health has been.
Sorry, I had a moment there.
No, I love that. Health has been just all of a sudden it's changed the name to green smoothies, meditating, journaling, and it's not always realistic. And that you got to read the beginning of this.
I can't wait to read it. I'm not going to lie. I kept eyeballing it like this. I wanted to grab it and put it under my seat.
I'll finish it and give it to you.
But what I was going to say was that's not freaking realistic, you guys. Like I can handle one good habit at a time, making it a habit for 21 days.
That's
guess
why
what?
The 5-minute journal is a really good
literally
idea.
I'm like 5-minute journal. I read when I want to read. I don't make it a rule that I need to read 5 times a week. Otherwise I'm going to get slapped by myself. Like it doesn't make any sense to make restrictions on you for good things that you're actively progressing and trying to do in your life. Like read the book if you feel like reading the book. Make an active mindset, though, to have you time. Whatever that you time is, if it's walking, if it is making a tea, if it's having your green juice, even though you haven't had it for a month, who fucking cares? You start from today. You don't start from yesterday. You don't start from tomorrow because you can't plan for that. You start from today. We have to freaking be okay with the fact that we sometimes have to restart on today because we didn't feel good yesterday. Yeah. And that's all right. You know what I mean? Sorry, I got a little moment there too.
Oh, I love that. Can we talk I'm about sweating. Then stress burnout? Like, I feel like Ben will have some things to say about stress burnout too, just because we all deal with it. So obviously we talked about like coming from a better mindset, complimenting random strangers. What else did we say?
We said, oh God, I don't even know a lot.
Journaling, 5-minute journals.
Taking you time, whatever that means.
Yeah,
don't
like
put
find time to be
rules on
your creative self. Like if there's something that you enjoy, make sure you find time every single day. Like take 30 minutes, plan out your day ahead of time. I also started using a planner, which is helpful. But what other tips can we give for stress burnout? Do you have any, Ben?
He's like, oh.
Sorry, I put my mic down.
Why is that so cute?
It's kind of hard for me. Anxiety has always been this weird thing for me because, like, the hardest part for me to understand is, like, if I'm ever anxious, I can pretty much identify a reason for it. But that's not how a lot of people operate with their anxiety. It's like, this is just how I feel. So for me, if I'm able to identify, like, the problem, I can usually come up with a solution. So, for example, for stress burnout, a lot of the times it's just that I'm doing things that I know in my head I can have somebody else doing something else. And so, like, you guys
Let's
know.
Let's hire another VA.
Yep. No, actually, like, I just brought on, like, my fourth member on my team, and he's literally, like, I've had anxiety around, like, I should be posting on Facebook on, like, all my different accounts. I should be posting on YouTube Shorts on all my different accounts. We should have somebody running your guys' Shorts channel. We should have somebody running my Shorts channel. And I was like, for me to do that, that's, like, probably 5, maybe 6 hours a week that like I know some people are like, what, you can't spare that per week, but like truly, like I'm pretty busy, and so I bring people in so that, like, you know, and this is like you play the short-term game to win the long-term game.
Absolutely.
So like last night I spent 5 hours making training videos for this new person I brought on the team, and that sucked. Like that literally sucked, and I had so much anxiety, and like I was feeling very overwhelmed. But like keeping in mind, like this, like 5 hours that I spend right now is going to save me, you know, hundreds of hours in the long run. And I'm going to get much, much further because I'm not going to burn myself out from those.
So smart.
So that's, I mean, obviously everybody has different, like different things. Like it doesn't make sense to hire somebody to like maybe handle something that you stress, or maybe you can't. But then also,
or maybe they can, they didn't know it was an option. Where do you hire people from?
I mean, you can use like Upwork, freelancer.com, onlinejobs.ph, but it's different, right? There's probably other things in their life that they have to do. Like, I know I get super overwhelmed by like cooking, cleaning, like doing my laundry, things like that. And I guess part of it is just, I've talked about this a lot, but prioritize and execute. What's really important, like what actually needs to get done, and then reflect on it at the end of the day with your journal and just be like, hey, you know, yeah, I didn't get everything done. Like my to-do list is super long. Like I'll show you guys that after this podcast.
It's I
don't want to see it.
Okay, don't look at it. But
I might look at it. I'll be like, ooh.
But knowing
I got a few things to add to mine now.
Knowing that I knocked off like the things at the top that were marked needs to be done today. Perfect.
That should feel like a successful day.
Exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I completely agree.
Versus looking at the rest of the list like, fuck, I have all this shit left to do.
Do you know how many times I put something on my to-do list and I move it over the next week and the next week and the week after that? Do you know how many times? Do you know that I've extended my NASM or NASM? Why do I always spell I don't know why I'd always spell it out. I extended it like 4 times and I still didn't finish it. I had to buy it again. Yeah, that's called procrastination.
Did you buy it again? Now you have another deadline?
Yes, correct.
Sid.
Yeah, no, totally. Like,
you should
honestly just buy the book,
read the book.
I would rather read the book. I think it's because it's not physical. That's why I don't like it.
Oh, I was going to say buy the book, read the book, and then sign up.
I know, but I didn't do that either.
I have the book.
Can I have the book?
Yeah.
God damn it. It's just like, we're all human. Like, get out of your head. Like, stop putting pressure on you for just being you and like trying to get shit done. Like, I was thinking about this today. I was like, damn, would the person 10 years ago be proud of the person that's sitting right here right now? Yeah, absolutely they would be. Did we accomplish things that we didn't even fathom? Absolutely we did. Mm-hmm. And was it because I just took one step one day at a time? Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that right there, my friend, is success. That's what success looks like. Like, take a breath, realize that you have so much success. Yeah. I will say that anxiety will ebb and flow, and I just want to share this because I was debating it, and then I'm like, yeah, I will. Maybe I will. So obviously my grandma passed, and I would call her about everything. Like, we talked on the phone like every single day. And it's been really hard. And I posted in my story the other day that she was still in my favorites. And I literally was like so confused because it still isn't very real that she's passed. And I released a lot of emotions. I don't know, Ben, if you were there yet when I did the speech for my grandma at her funeral. Oh God, I'm kind of glad you weren't. Cause I mean, I was like a mess and I released a lot, but what I didn't realize is that the hurt is way deeper than that. And the anxiety that I have around like not having that person anymore to go to is very real. And when I saw that, I just started bawling in my car, like on the drive home, just bawling, straight up bawling, called Jordan. And the thing is sometimes like nothing helps. And I just have to sit in my anxiety and my sorrow of like my biggest fear happened that she's gone and I don't have that. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's not fixable. But you just got to kind of get back on your feet and do one thing for you. Like, I went home and I had 30 marshmallows. And you think I'm exaggerating? I'm literally not. I love marshmallows. And it made me happy. It made me fucking happy. And guess what? Oh, God, whatever. Maybe I gained 5 pounds. No, I didn't. First of all. Second of all, I don't even care because I needed that so bad. And I just indulged. And I didn't give a flying F.
Okay, when I was having my anxiety attack at dinner.
Yeah?
Did you say something about marshmallows?
Yeah, I did, I think.
I swear, because you were
trying to get your mind off something.
I think you were trying to get me out of what was
happening. I remember that now because I saw your leg tap. You were doing the leg tap.
Well, then I go, I think I'm having an anxiety
attack. I go, I love marshmallows more than anything in my entire life.
You started talking about marshmallows.
I just wanted to, because sometimes when...
She was like trying to get me out of it in my anxiety attack by talking about marshmallows, how many marshmallows she can eat.
I was craving 1, 2, we were just talking about it, Jordan and I, and 3, I wanted to take you out. No, just I wanted to take you out of your anxiety attack. Toasted vanilla by Smashmallow. Sorry.
Do you toast them?
No, it's called toasted vanilla. It's a flavor.
You eat them just plain?
Yeah. Oh. I just pop them in. Boom, boom. 1, 2, 7, 10, 25.
You should have brought them. We could have played Chubby Bunny.
No, I go. That's actually really. We should do that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we'll do it on.
I
on
did
air.
Say that though. That is hilarious. I tried to take you out of your anxiety attack. Yeah, sometimes when I hear something random, I'm like,
you're like, wait, what did you just say?
I have a tip though for if you feel an anxiety attack coming on. Mm-hmm. What I do is instead of being like, oh no, oh fuck, like I take a breath and I go, you know, I've been through this one before. I've been through it before. And I can handle it again because I've done this before. And I try to take a deep inhale, even though usually it stops because your chest is kind of tight. Hold it at the top and try to think of something this is going to sound weird, but try to think of two things at the same time. And then take the exhale and then take an inhale again and try to think of two things at the same time. And then take an exhale. And then I kind of look around and I start thinking about, dang, what is that over there? And I try to make my mind curious again. And it usually can pull me out pretty easily. Pretty well, I should say.
So I've been doing some research on this too, because like anxiety attack is when you're, you know, in that fight or flight. So like you have the right idea with the breathing, because when you inhale through your nose, let your belly expand. So inhale for five, hold for five. You could think of something.
Yep.
Maybe I like to think of like what's kind of stressing me out maybe. But then when you exhale, you like let that go.
Ooh.
So exhale for 10 seconds and then hold at the bottom for 5 seconds.
It's box breathing.
So inhale for five, hold for five, exhale for 10, hold for five.
Oh, wow.
And then inhale again. And just do that for like 5 to 10 breaths. It's like a minute and a half.
And
there's
like
no possible way that your body could then be in a sympathetic state. It has to be in a parasympathetic state scientifically with that breathing.
Oh, shit.
So that helps you too.
Mic freaking drop. Right? That's insane. I did not know that. Well, I guess at least I was on the same right track a little bit.
You were.
A little bit.
You guys probably know better than me. This is just something I heard. But for me, when I get really anxious, I know we've talked about this. So I go running. Like,
oh,
I remember you were telling me they were like, to lose weight, you don't have to run. Mm-hmm. You don't have to run on the weekends.
But you like to go, yeah.
I'm like, usually by the weekend, I'm so anxious of like all the work that I had to get done. I'm like, I need to hit the reset button. Mm-hmm. So like, I honestly don't run for my health. I run for my like anxiety.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing though.
I've just heard something that like, when you're anxious, your body is like seeking a physical release.
Yeah.
Of some sort. So
that's why orgasms help too. A lot of times I'll masturbate
if I'm anxious too. Mm-hmm. Same. I do the same thing.
And yeah, like after you exercise, you're going to release some, you know,
endorphins,
hormones into your brain that will help you feel better too, which is why I usually do feel a little bit of a relief. But
I learned something today. Can I share this?
Hold on second. Just because of the running thing, like I just want to flag it because I feel frustrated. Like just sometimes because people are like, I feel anxious, I'll go for a run. But like when I feel anxious, I have to like literally, I can't move out of my bed. Like you know, it's like feeling anxious about something is normal, but anxiety attack is different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally.
Okay.
I mean, they take over. I tell people I need to go to the hospital when I'm having one. And Jordan knows, like he rubs my back and he's like, yeah, you're okay. He just says, you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. Like 100 times. If I'm alone, usually I end up in my closet, which is like scary, but like I literally am like crying.
I didn't even know you had anxiety attacks still.
Oh yeah. I mean, not often, but yeah. Not often anymore.
Okay.
But I do. Okay. But I don't talk about them usually.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to like resurface that they happen. I'm like, don't give them the power. Don't give them the power. Because it's like a power thing ever since I talked to my grandma. It's like, don't give them the power. Yeah. Yeah. I had one the night after she passed away.
Yeah.
And then I had one the night of her funeral after the fact, which is probably the most recent ones that I've had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're overwhelming and I get it, but I feel you. And I want you to know that we're here with you. And like, if maybe popping a headphone in your ear and listening to a podcast makes you feel better, like something that's going to take your mind off of what's going on with you. I just want you to know that life always seems a lot worse than it is. And we always get in our heads too, but just know that you're not alone. You've got people around you. You've got people that love you. Even when you think that they're not watching and they're not paying attention to you, I guarantee like 10 to 15, maybe even more people think about you a day. Cause think about all the people that think about you you think of a day. Ton, right? And even if we're not actively talking to them or doing anything for them, we think about them. So just know that you're loved, like regardless. And I hope that something that we're saying is resonating with people and they can feel something, because I know shit gets hard and life is hard and a lot of people have mental health issues and we're all just here trying to figure it out, to be honest.
Let's make today a glass half full day.
Woo! I love it.
I actually was like, I used to think, oh my God, this podcast is stressing me out. Like I'm just so stressed. But like, I got to go back to like, this is like the best thing that's ever happened to us. Like we love this.
No,
like,
we love doing
this. And like, you know, when we're, even if I'm having a really anxious day, if I come here and we're all laughing together, like we got to remember, like, this is fun.
It's very
fun. This is like, we love this.
It's our show. Dude, I have to tell you this because I had like 6 cool things happen. I just got to tell you because people are, we're getting recognized and it's weird, you guys. I'm so like, I just get so awkward. I feel bad because then I'm like, sorry, hi. Oh, you recognize me? Oh, you're not talking to the person behind me? Okay, hi.
I want to hear.
I was at the wedding and this girl, oh my God, it's all coming back. We're sitting at the wedding table. We're all going around. We met each other. Jordan knows the boyfriend. We're like, oh yeah. I'm like, what's your name? She's like, Mariah. And I was like, oh, hi. And I'm like, you know, I do this, whatever. And she's like, what else? And I'm like, I have a podcast. And she's like, you have a podcast? And she's like, is it called Straight Candid? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I was sitting next to your co-host at a wedding, at a singles table, a wedding for Brooke. Does this ring a bell?
Yes. What was
she
her
was
name?
At my table, Mariah, in Colorado. Oh! In Colorado.
I love her.
I was
she's
like,
a,
what the
she's
hell?
She's a dietitian.
Yes, I yeah, know. That's why we were talking.
Me and her talked about food the whole
that's
time.
That's what we were doing. Because I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. You're a dietitian. Oh my God. And she's like, yeah, I live, you know, like all this stuff. I won't give away where she lives. I almost said where
what?
She,
she was sitting next
at my
to you?
Yes, next to me at a wedding in Colorado.
Gorgeous?
So beautiful.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. But then I was at Embrace North and this girl named Andrea said hi. And she also says we need to do a conversation about hot like saunas and then cold experiences.
Let me tell you something. I did that on Sunday.
And
someone who already has really bad anxiety, I thought it was good for me, but I literally think it released toxins and sent me into this week-long spiral of anxiety.
Maybe you just took it a little too fast because it is supposed to help, but I think it's also a buildup of like mindset, and that's what I would love to learn. But well, shout out Andrea, by the way, for recognizing me.
Everyone in the sauna that I was doing it with was like completely fine, but I was in that fight or flight because like, I mean, everyone is in the fight or flight, but you control it, right?
But you were probably like, in it prolonged. So
yeah.
It probably
and I'm like,
severe.
Dude, I'm already in a fight or flight constantly all day. Why am I putting myself in this situation? Like, and then my shoulders were tense and I was having cramps in my shoulders and then I felt high.
Oh
and then
God.
I was laying down on the chair and my heartbeat was in my butt cheeks. And I was like, what is happening?
What the hell? Oh my
so
God.
So I don't know.
Heartbeat in your butt cheeks.
No.
Hold on. What?
Yeah. I don't know if I like it. I mean, it was great, but
I do love it a
scary.
Lot though. I felt really like powerful after, but I haven't been in, I wasn't in a state that I needed to be like fearful of when I
was
went.
Probably already fearful. Yeah. When I walked in. Okay. Keep
okay,
going. I'm so
this
sorry.
This is the last thing. I just thought this was really cool. So Jordan's mom came over. And I will say that this podcast is probably not meant for Jordan's mom's ears, right? Like my boyfriend's mom, I'm like kind of like, oh, dang.
Check out, sign out,
yeah,
next
like,
time.
Bye, bye. But she's like, I have to tell you guys something that happened. I was on Facebook. She's so cute. And she's so like passionate. And she's like, I was on Facebook, right? And I'm reading about this girl.
Right.
Jordan, you know this girl. You grew up with her, right? Like she would live down the street. Her parents were named Kathy and Kim or whatever, you know? And I'm like,
Kathy
and
Kim.
You know what I mean? Kathy and Tim, damn it. And she's like, she said she did this thing at work. And she was like, I'm so excited. And since I hit 10,000 of something, she's going to say 10 things about her. And so she's like, I'm a mom of two. I grew up in White Bear Lake. I'm a da 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 da. And I love and I'm an avid listener of Straight Candid Podcast. Had no
cute.
Idea that Jordan is dating me. I had no idea that anybody would see that. And she's like, I had to keep myself from commenting. Hey, I know that girl. That's what Jordan's mom said. I was like, that is freaking cute. Okay. I have to
I
share that because
that.
That's like a feel good.
There's like,
so she's like, I'm so happy for you both. That's what she said.
I have
to
a
us.
Similar story. So there's an old man in my building that I talk about. I shouldn't say old man. That makes him sound old.
Oh, sorry. I should say her name was Paige, by the way. Paige Vadness. Shout out to you.
But he is old. But
okay.
Cutie old man.
Yeah. Like, oh, sorry.
I think I've shared this in another episode. But he'll say stuff that like relates back to the podcast. Like he listens every single week.
I'm sorry
like,
for calling you old. I've never seen you. Week. I promise.
Yeah.
I'm not judging by anything. I just.
No.
I don't know why, but cute and old go together. So even if you're just cute, I just call you cute and old. You know
cute
what I mean?
Old.
I don't
he is
know.
Cute and old.
I'm like, oh.
Okay. So I do have some listeners, Straight Candid moments and listeners, Straight Candid advice. Just a reminder, we do have a link in the bio to fill out your Straight Candid moment and be featured on the podcast. Also, please keep in mind that our link in bio is for only Straight Candid moments. We love the reviews, but save that for the Apple Podcasts.
Please. And
we
you.
Love advice questions, but we might have to make another form for that.
We're probably going to have to make another form. Do you want me to read advice and you read the candid moment?
Sure.
Which one do you want to go first?
Let's do candid moment first.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so Straight Candid Moment written in by a listener. I'll be honest, I am so, so sorry. I don't know if you wanted this to be anonymous or not, so I'm going to keep it anonymous because I didn't check. Oopsies. Candid.
Tootsie.
Okay, so she goes, so I'll start with a short preface to the story. I need to restart because can you pronounce this word?
Where is it? Sorry. Pedorthist.
Okay, I'm going to restart.
Click on it. Will you see what it means?
I think it's like it's orthotics, like a feet doctor.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Feet doctor? Yeah. No.
I don't know.
Here, let's look it up.
We're both like, huh?
Fun fact of the day, you guys. A pedorthist is a professional who has specialized training to modify footwear and employ supportive devices to address conditions which affect the feet and lower limbs.
Yeah, so it's basically, all the things in the foot. Okay, cool.
So I'll start with a short preface to the story. I'm a foot doctor. Basically, I do orthotics and I work in a clinic. My assessments typically require me to do a hands-on assessment on people's feet. Remember this. Okay. So I had a wedding to go to at the beginning of August. So I'm like, Soph and I literally never get, okay. Fuck, there's typos. Okay, can I start over again? We may have to edit. No, we won't. Should I start?
We don't edit, you guys. So now I'm scared.
Okay.
All right, let's go. Third time.
Well,
it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
When you write this shit in, y'all better not have typos because we don't read this beforehand.
Because we want to react. We want to react live. So if you're throwing penis in there somewhere, don't even think about it. Like, you know what I mean? I can see someone being like, la, 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 penis. And like,
penis,
no.
Penis, if you see that red underline, fix your shit. Okay.
Oh my God, I don't want to mess with her.
Getting pissed, bro. Okay, restarting. So I had a wedding. I had a wedding to go at the beginning of August. So I'm like, I need to get my nails done. And I bite my nails. But because of weddings, I decided, what the hell? I get very nice acrylics done to look cute for pics, whatever. Sigh. I'm not used to functioning with long nails, typing, putting gloves on, scratching, etc. It was very hard and very annoying to figure out. One day I'm at work and I go to the bathroom to poo. My normal morning at work involves me shitting at work. And not at home. I don't know why, but that's how my bowels work. So I'm pooing. And I wipe when I'm done. I wash my hands and I get started with my assessments for the day. I'm in a room with a patient and get to the part of the assessment where I assess his feet. He takes his shoes and socks off, gets on the plinth and says, I'm so sorry. My feet may smell like shit. I'm used to people saying this all the time, so I just laugh and move on. A few minutes pass and he's like, wow, it really smells like shit. It's so strong. Do you smell that? And I agree. It actually smelled like shit and it was strong. We both look at his shoes and to see if he stepped in poo. They were clean. I look under my shoe and I'm clean. So we both shrugged it off, thinking it was just a fluke, and we continue commenting on how bad it is, and he keeps apologizing, thinking that it was him. I'm really struggling.
I'm scared.
To like stay line for line right now. An hour goes by and the smell is still there and it's pungent. It took me a while, but I figured out where it was coming from. Remember how I said I don't know how to function with long nails? Turns out when I was doing my morning poo-poo and wiping, I didn't make the toilet paper big enough, and so my nails scraped some of the poo off my ass. And even after washing my hands, quite a bit of poo was stuck underneath my nails, specifically three of my nails. And
oh,
I was
my
literally
God.
Walking around with shit on my fingertips. What's worse, I wasn't wearing gloves the entire time, and I not only touched his man's feet, but I probably touched walls, pens, patient files with my shit hands. My nails were so long and they literally got a piece of that ass.
Do you know that is how people get diseases?
Yeah.
No. Literally sicknesses, E. coli, all the things.
I'm going to take a guess and
say that they probably wanted to
assume that they wanted to be anonymous.
They probably don't want their name on there. If I had to guess, they probably don't want their name on there.
God,
oh my God.
Fucking font is so small,
too. It is really small.
I had to like...
You were literally at the screen with your hat. I won't lie, that is horrific, and I feel slightly ill in my tummy.
Let me tell you something.
What?
Me and Ben, we have clean nails because they don't go past.
Don't.
Sid, on the other hand, Sid has fucking poop under
her
fingertips.
No, I don't, dude. No, I don't.
Poopy girl.
Look at under my nails. You want to zoom in?
She has poop, a little bit of jizz.
No, stop.
A little bit of dead skin.
No, stop. Look at how cute they are. Look how clean.
Yeah, but like.
Do you know how anal I am about these things?
How
oh my God. Are you kidding me?
How do you clean them?
How do I clean my nails?
Yeah.
When I go in the shower, I go under the thing. Loofah, wait. I'm just saying, like, that's where you really get into them. Loofah, when you wash your hands, I scrape under each one with my thumb, and then I get that thumb with a different nail, and I go hot. Like, I go hot water.
Well, I think you need to go on those brushes that you, like, go like that.
Well, the loofah kind of acts like that. You know what I mean?
But yeah. You only shower once a day.
Well, sometimes it's twice
and
if
you,
I want to.
And you poop.
How many times do you think I wash my hands? I had OCD, lady. I grew up with OCD. I'm a freak.
Can we talk about your loofah for a second?
Yo, Sid cannot catch a break on this podcast.
Dude, this fucking shit. Okay. All right. You want to know the story?
Yeah, I saw your TikTok.
I took a shower and I cleaned with my little blue loofah because it's mine. I picked it out at the store. And it's blue. It's a blue loofah. And what were you going to say? She's like, just go ahead. So I washed my body with my loofah and I was having a wonderful little time. And I'm thinking to myself after I'm standing in the shower and I'm looking around and I'm about to get out and I'm like, that's weird. Jordan doesn't have a loofah. He used to have a loofah in here. That's so funny. Anyway, so I'm just like going about my business, putting my lotion on. And then I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I've seen this man use a loofah. I have. I've seen it. And it is graphic, okay? It is a mess. He's rubbing that thing so hard under his armpits, so hard in his butt crack. I actually think he's going to rip something. I'm serious. It's not okay. Seriously, he's going ham, okay? Then I can think about it for a second and I go,
leg up the wall.
Literally, like, no, like, guys scrub really hard in the shower. Sorry, okay. Hot take.
Dude,
I'm sorry,
no,
it's true.
Hot take. Pat has a loofah too. I don't have a loofah. Not only does Pat have a loofah, he has one of those.
No, he doesn't have it. It's on a stick, is it? It's on a stick.
He has one of those.
I knew it. How did I know?
I literally thought only cartoons use those.
It's because he's tall. He's really tall, yeah.
Like, who needs a big fucking brush to clean your body? We have hands.
I don't know. He must have bad mobility or something.
But, like, I don't need a loofah.
Okay, I use a loofah because this is kind of fun. You put the soap on it, it suds up. I don't know. Long story short, Jordan hasn't had a loofah for a while. Yeah, you know why? He threw his away. And guess what he's been using? My loofah. My loofah, dude. That one, that same one that he just destroys his armpits with and other things and things that dangled, he's using on his body. And then I go to be so cute and use it all over my body and my face and my neck. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Loofahs can contain fungal organisms that lead to skin infections.
I buy a new loofah every month, all right, people? God damn it. See, I'm literally like, I'm getting roasted. You want to know another thing you can roast me for?
Sea sponges, they're alternative to loofahs. Like loofahs, they don't have any dyes, preservatives, or chemicals inside. Sea sponge has some naturally occurring enzymes that kill bacteria.
See, for some reason, I really don't want to, like, rub a sea urchin on my body. You know what I mean?
A sea urchin.
Like, he was just in the ocean, then he got dried out, now he's here in my shower with me. Like, it just, you know what I mean? Like, it's actual, like, a lot. Well, it's dead, but it was once a live sponge.
Oh, I've seen these.
Yeah, they're, like, actually.
Oh, they actually are from the ocean.
Yes. Some of them are. Some of them are fake. Last thing I say on this podcast, because you can also roast me for this one, and I didn't even know that people could get this, okay? I got served jury duty.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, like, really a thing? That's, I don't know, actually, one person that has ever done jury duty in my entire life.
I've always wanted jury duty because you get,
why?
Because you get, like, a week off work.
Well, literally, I got summoned, and my mom was like, you've got a paper from the government here.
Summoned.
I'm like, okay. She's
when,
like,
is it?
I'm like, what do you mean it's a paper from the government? I don't know. But
dude,
my dad goes,
I hope you get a really cool case.
I hope so, too. But my dad goes, well, do you want to do it? And I go, I don't know. Not really at this point, but obviously I'm going to. I kind of have to. It's, you know, against the law or whatever. And he goes, well, you know what you could do? And I'm like, what? He goes, when they call you because they have to talk with you about the case before you actually, like, step in to make sure you're a good, like, fit for it, you can be like, so they ask you, so do you know about this case? And you go, yeah, oh, yeah, I do. I know. Oh, my God. And I know exactly who did it.
Oh.
I know exactly who did it. And I'm really close to the guy. Super close. And
you pretend,
like, literally,
you know,
just pretend.
You pretend you know Benny. That's part
of
the
Benny,
trial.
Yeah, Benny. Duh. Benny. Hello. I know what happened. He just told me last week. LOL. Anyway. Sorry. Tangent, but
I think
who the hell goes to jury duty? I didn't even know that was a thing.
I think you should do it. I think it'd be an experience.
I will do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be, I know I don't know anything about this case, and I'm very excited to learn.
I feel like if
please
Sid,
pick me.
I feel like if Sid had another job, like in a different life, you'd be a really good lawyer.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You're served. That's what you have to say. I was trying to think of something a lawyer would say. It didn't go very well. Okay. Straight candid advice. I need some straight candid advice. My boyfriend and I have been together for a little over 10 months. Obviously, by this point in the relationship, we both have strong feelings for each other and are on the verge of saying, I love you. I know that I love him, but I'm afraid to say it first because I've been burned in the past relationships by being the first to say it. I brought it up to him the other day by saying, are you going to drop the L-bomb soon or are you waiting for me to do it? He then avoided the question over and over and over a couple of more hours. Then I directly told him to address it. And his response was, I don't know how to answer it. I feel like that word thrown out was, I don't know. Oh my God. Sorry. That word gets thrown around a lot. I don't want him to say it to me if it's not really ready. And I don't want him to say it to me just because he feels like he has to now that I have. Is this a massive red flag or should I just stick it out? Love the pod so much. Oh, that was so nice. First of all, she even made it large and in charge, bolded huge letters for me and I still fucked up. Second of all, he answered with, I don't know how to answer it. I feel like that word gets thrown around a lot. That tells you.
Yeah.
as much as that literally hurts me inside, because I've also been in the situation where I told a boyfriend I loved him and I was so excited and he literally that day broke up with me. I'm dead serious. Don't laugh. You guys, high school is rough. High school is rough. Dating the older guy.
I feel like if a guy answers it like that, like he doesn't have to love you yet. Like I understand people have different timelines for that, but he should at least say like, babe, like, I mean, yeah, I have strong feelings for you and I think it's going in that direction. Yeah. I think it's going in that direction. And if a guy can't answer it that way, I think there is something holding him back, whether that's, you know, his own insecurities or if this is just like a stand-in relationship, which I hate to say, but like, I think you got to dive deeper into how he answered that, because if my boyfriend answered of 10 months, keep in mind, they've been dating for 10 months.
Yeah, together. I hope that together means dating too, because then it even makes it like more intense of like, that's a long
time.
Like
if my boyfriend answered the question like that, I would throw some shit around.
It just gives me red flag vibes like right off the bat. She says, is it a massive red flag or should I stick it out? I would not stick it out. I would have one more conversation and be like, "What? Where do you stand? Because like, I feel like maybe I'm progressing a little bit like quicker than you are, and I just want to make sure that we're on the same page, even if our feelings are not quite aligned and maybe you're not there yet. Like, do you have a hesitation? Have you been burned in the past? Like, maybe there's something holding back, but then right there it shows his communication is not there, like you were saying. And for that matter, I'd be like, you know what, this guy's not as mature as you are. I don't think, like, if you can't communicate how you're thinking and how you're feeling, sounds a little bit flaky to me. Ben, you have an opinion?
Agreed.
He's got the mic.
I just didn't like his answer.
I didn't either.
He could have been bullshit. You know what, babe? I'm not ready.
Yeah. Like, which is okay.
I'll let you know. And that's fine. I think that's a perfectly reasonable answer. But the answer of like, I'm just imagining like, it's kind of like the girl that wants the boyfriend to post a picture of her on Instagram.
Oh.
Like, that's just such a shitty excuse. Like, oh, like everybody does it, you know? But it's like, he could, for him to be like, I don't know. The word gets thrown around.
I can hear it. It literally probably sounded like the word gets thrown around a lot. And you're like, what? I wouldn't even know what to say to that. I hope she was like, God dang it. What the hell is wrong with
you? And the way he answered it is like kind of like almost turning it around on her again. Like it's just,
almost
like
it gets thrown around a lot. Why would you throw it around? Like that's what he's implying.
Yeah.
Ooh, ick. I don't like that behavior. No, pass. Nope. I'm sorry, lady, but you are better than that. And I know you are. Right? Even just reading how you talk about him.
Oh, I hate ruining relationships.
I know. I'm like, I feel like I'm the bad guy.
What if they actually take this like to heart every time? I'm like, we've ended so many relationships. We're like, fuck it. Leave him, bitch. Like, we hate this guy. Oh. Red flag, massive.
Even
red
with
girls
and like, the guys who write in were like, that bitch, no, you got to get rid of her. Burn her right now. Like, okay. All right. Like,
you only give us this context. Sorry. So that's what we got to work with.
Listen, I wish somebody would have told me what I needed to hear, even when it was tough love. And that's what I'm doing for you. That's what straight candid moments are for. We love you. We respect you. Ben?
I'm just imagining someone like going to break up with their significant other. Like,
the straight candid girls
told me that. I think we need to end this.
Literally, dude, like, they told me and I had to do it.
We're gonna get some hate messages.
No, we're not. Oh my God, I know. Like, don't directly tell him we told you to do it.
Like, if the boyfriend heard us reading this, he's like, I actually didn't say that like that.
Remember when that guy wrote in and he was like, oh my God, I'm remembering something. It was like, I like didn't like this girl because she was like a 2 and like she catfished me. Like, she was like a 7 online and then I got in person and she was a 2 and I like couldn't get hard. Remember that? Someone wrote that in and it was a straight candid moment from somebody and I literally read it and I go, you're a douchebag. You are literally, that is not okay. Like, calling somebody a 2?
He thought,
who are you? What? Nobody's a 2. Everyone's a freaking 10 on the planet, dog.
Was that a DM?
It was a DM. It was a straight candid moment. I was like, oh my God, wow, you are sitting on your pedestal, sir. Let me just leave you up there.
And like, does he even listen to the podcast? Because he would know we would not be having that.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just like a not okay moment.
One of my favorite ones was someone wrote in an advice about like how his girlfriend was faking orgasms and he like broke up with her for it or something.
Yeah,
and he like had this like, how do I get over it? I'm like, bro, like, come on.
Wait, take a breath, dude.
I wish we could find that DM. I remember that.
We could probably find it. We probably could.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, it was about like how he called her out on faking the orgasms. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, I'm not. And he was like, I know.
Oh, he can't trust her. And so he broke up with
her. Oh yeah. He can't trust her because she was faking orgasms. That's what it was.
Yeah. It was trust.
Which is so fucked up. Dude, it has nothing to do with that.
You know what though? You both got to communicate way better. Way better. Anyway, oh my God, the moments. You guys, we love them. We respect you guys. What were you going to say now? You're just geeking over there.
It was the trust issues for me. Like, I got trust issues from this girl faking her orgasm. that's just funny to me.
It is kind of funny, though.
Like every other girl he's probably ever met with has faked the orgasm too.
Dude, we're with you. We get it. We're recovering fakers. And I've come a long way. All right. Yep. We've come a long way over here. You know why? Because we have experts. Speaking of experts, next week we have a sex expert coming on.
Sexpert.
Sexpert, we like to call her. I'm not going to give you info on who she is. You're going to have to do your own research, your own guesstimates, but send in those questions. If you've got them, send in your sexual straight candid moments, because I'm telling you right now, that's what the topic is going to be about. We're going to get into it. We're going to get the deets from her.
So we'll talk more about how to not fake orgasms, maybe.
You'll find out how to also
communicate with your partner. All the good things.
It'll be good, I promise. Okay, well, thank you for being here for this week. This was a good one. I feel like I feel good about this. Sorry it started with buttholes and ended with real life stuff, but listen, that's just how life goes, man.
Quite a mix.
That's candid.
Quite a mix today. I think this is a good representation of us.
I think it is too. I know. And if you stuck around to the end, please go write us an Apple Podcast review. Please, please, please. I feel like I'm begging you right now. I'm on my knees. I'll kiss you. And I'll thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm also... Never mind. Okay, I'll talk to you. What are you going to say? I'm going to talk to you guys after this.
Okay, fine. I really need ice cream.
I was dying at that social clip.
Oh my
God. We
got
to post that.
Oh, I haven't posted it yet because
the porn script.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez.
We'll collab that.
Okay, got it. We love you at Straight Candid Podcast, at Candid Sid. What the hell is my username? Holy crap.
At Candid Soph.
And at Ben Sarbacher.
We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, there could be
popping.